Sean, welcome to the podcast. Super excited to chat with you today.
Fantastic. Thank you for having me.
So, tell us a little bit more about kind of your background story and catch us up to what you're doing today.
Okay. First of all, I was born in Liberia, West Africa. I came to the US when I was 7 years old with my brother. My parents were already here. And then the cool thing about the story is 2 weeks after we got here, Liberia had a civil war, and it was a 15-year long civil war. So we barely made it out of the country before, the country erupted into that civil war. So definitely lucky to be here. My formative years have always been in Virginia. One of the cool things or great memories I have is I grew up in Centerville, Virginia, and within that context, I was one of seven boys. We all were in the same grade, so these guys have been my friends, my whole life. And then we always play basketball, so that's why basketball is just very important to me, my favorite sport, and something that has taught me so much about myself and also about life. And then I had the opportunity to also go to public high school and then private high school, my junior and senior year, St. Stephen's and St. Agnes High School in Alexandria, Virginia. Which was a fantastic opportunity. I love St. Stephen's so much. It was just an awesome experience to have, with the kids I went to school with and just the community in general. And then from there, I went to Syracuse University. And one of the reasons I chose Syracuse was because of their basketball program. At that time, I thought I could play basketball at that level, so I wanted to walk on. But getting there, I did have the chance to play against, a lot of great ball players. And then my sophomore year is when the university, led by Carmelo Anthony, they won the national championship. And then from there, I worked a year or two in DC, and then I moved to New York City because I wanted to be a commodity broker, or wanted to work on Wall Street. I got to New York August of 2018, very ex or 08, I mean August 08, very excited to be in New York, living the city life and then working on getting onto Wall Street. And then 2 months later, the stock market crashed. So I was scrambling to, figure something out, find a job. And then it took me about a year later before I actually got into finance and started working on Wall Street.
Very interesting. And so you seem like to have this passion for finance from an earlier age. But tell me a little bit more about, what are you doing today with that passion for the money markets, the financial literacy, and all those things?
Yeah, the passion for finance really came about when I first got to Syracuse. I didn't know what I wanted to do. One of my friends, Jason, told me about the Robert Kiyosaki book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And through reading that, I was like, oh, this guy totally gets it. So that's what led me in the direction of finance. And I think I wouldn't say my basketball dreams were crushed, but I met reality knowing that, I wasn't good enough to make it to the NBA. But, you still have the ambition of, doing something important. So that's why Wall Street was the next, opportunity for me. And then, so what I decided to do was take my love for basketball and use that to teach financial literacy. With being the founder of Winning at the Money Game, which teaches, I would say, elementary, middle school, and high school students about financial literacy, but through the game of basketball. So we use basketball and soccer to teach the youth because those are international sports and also they're played by both boys and girls. So it makes the information more relatable to the students and also provides them a framework of, asking questions, learning, and developing themselves.
That's very interesting. I love the combination of sports. I mean, we both very much enjoy sports from our earlier conversations that we've had. So, and I think that there's so much to how a mindset develops just by playing
Exactly.
sports. But tell me a little bit more about how you see this as impactful when it comes to financial literacy. Like, give us an example of how you combine the two.
Okay, For example, a concept of saving money. saving and investing, it's kind of hard to teach. I would say it's kind of hard to teach the youth who, if you take an elementary or middle school kids, they don't have a job. So it'd be hard to tell them, hey, you need to save your money or invest it, because they don't have a framework of thinking about that idea. So we use free throw shooting, which is something that's simple, but as anybody who watches basketball or plays basketball knows that, making free throws is very difficult. So we use that comparison of using free throw with saving and investing. So that way the kids can understand or see the connection between the two subjects. And it also allows them to see the consequences of good and bad behavior. Because most times basketball games are very close and they could be won or lost on the free throw line. Just like in terms of financial success, it's pretty much won or lost by your habits of saving and investing your money. So when those two concepts are put together, it's easier for, I'll say students or kids to be able to understand the importance of that because they can see it within the basketball or soccer. And then also, anytime going through our program, anytime a child finishes our program, now when they watch a basketball game or a soccer game, all those financial literacy concepts that we had discussed or taught them is reinforced. So it's also continues to build as they get more into that sport or they start learning about it or watching it.
That's such an interesting idea because you're totally right. Like, and especially if they already like sports and they always it's always gonna stick. So it just sticks. And that's the biggest thing about learning is like, how do we make it stick? Being in a
Exactly.
learning environment, that's one of the biggest challenges we have is like, how do I actually get these people to practice? And how do I get people to remember all these things? And I'm saying that's such a brilliant idea. And it makes it fun. And I just love it. I'm such a fan of your work because it's again, it combines the sports, and not only is it teaching them financial, but it's also teaching them all the other things that sport teach them, like discipline, community, team, right? I think it's just brilliant. How did you come up with it?
So the idea came to me my junior year at Syracuse, because as I mentioned before, I love basketball. So I would after class, I'll always go play basketball. And I was in the Whitman School of Management. So I would go to business classes and then go play basketball in the evenings or nighttime. And then the stuff that we were talking about within business school was the same principles that I've been learning or doing my whole life playing basketball, in terms of, following through on your goals, same way you follow through with your shot, boxing out, which is boxing out financial opponents from taking away your money, maybe ATM fees, late fees, things like that. So to me, I was like, oh, this is a very good idea. But I was like, okay, I'm in college. I'm a junior. No one's going to listen to this information. So I just kept it in the back of my head. And then once I got on Wall Street, I shared the idea with a stockbroker in terms of what I had written down. And he was like, this is a phenomenal idea. He even set up a meeting for me to speak with like four or five other individuals. And all were like, oh, this is fantastic. And they told me to just write a little bit more and write a story. So I wrote a story along with the concepts in the book, which is about a squad. Like, because when you play basketball, people are always asking, like, oh, who's your squad? Meaning, who's the other four people that are going to be playing with you? So I took those characters using, like, one of the kids' name is Patrick Giles for PG for point guard. So I used those different, acronyms to create the characters. And I had them tell the story using basketball of, saving their money to buy jerseys to enter a basketball tournament. And I think writing has always come easy to me. So it was very easy for me to be able to write this story. And the success we've had with it, we've, taught this concept to over 200 kids in basketball camps, after school programs, even in schools. And everyone is just amazed by the idea how easy it is for the kids to relate to the information, but also how easy it is for them to retain the information.
I think it's definitely brilliant. And have you seen, it being quite receptive from schools? Because in my head, I'm just thinking, shouldn't schools be teaching this? And we all know this. Like, shouldn't be teaching financial literacy? But probably not as fun as you would teach it. It sounds like. But what have you heard as feedback, or have you had these conversations with educators? In terms of like this, like it's great that there are problem solvers like yourself that are doing this, but What is it, in your opinion, in the education system that we just refuse to start educating kids? And many schools, not all schools, but many schools do not offer that.
It's definitely gotten better. But once I wrote the book, I had a friend in LA, Ransford, and I sent it over to him. And he's been in the Los Angeles Unified School District for over 20 years. So he saw the book, and then we came together, and he was able to create a curriculum, based off of it, being able to use, for example, we use to teach. I think a lot of, I would say educators run through the problem, how can you engage the students and properly be able to teach them this? So Ransford was able to come up with a curriculum using his knowledge of the 20 years experience he had. So we also use a concept of comparing a library card to a credit card, because if you think about that, have the same function. You have to bring the books back, or you have to pay the credit card off. And then if you don't, you get charged a late fee. But the better you do with your library card, they extend the amount of books you can be able to take out. So you can increase your ability to take, instead of two books, you can take three or four when you show good habits of returning the books. Just the same thing with your credit card. If you show good habits, they increase your credit limit. So we just found ways to be able to teach these financial concepts to kids in a way that's relatable and engaging to them. And I think that's what separates our financial literacy program from a lot of others, because it's engaging. Most kids, for example, you probably have kids who know so much about basketball or sports. They know all the players, or they have a favorite team. They know everything about the team. So we're just harnessing that energy and redirecting it to financial literacy. And it's just been very great and impactful throughout all the individuals we met with. The ideal goal would be to get this to the NBA, WNBA, and relating to the soccer edition, to get that to FIFA. So we definitely have a whole lot more work to do. And I wrote a volume two to Winning at the Money Game. That's the title of the organization, and also the books. So that's the grand plan, to get that into the hands of those large sports organizations, so they'll be able to disseminate the information to, the interested parties.
Yes, absolutely. And what has been your biggest challenge, just as a creator of this and as an entrepreneur, what do you see has been your biggest challenge with launching something like this?
Pertaining to entrepreneurship, is a very good thing, but I think people like to sugarcoat it. It's also a very difficult process. As I mentioned before, writing comes easy to me. I'm a very good writer, but something that I'm not good at is marketing. And as you know, especially in this day and age with social media, marketing is very key. So I think, or I know now, I got to be able to find a way to connect with a marketing person or maybe an agency to be able to push this forward, because, I think we have to understand what our strengths and our weaknesses are. In terms of in finance, you have something of SWOT analysis. So I know my strengths is in writing, being creative, but my weakness is I don't have the network to be able to, reach the NBA or these people. So that's something we're working on to, increase our marketing.
That's yeah. Listen, it's just part of the entrepreneurship game.
Yes.
It's definitely, I agree with you. It's become such a trend, and so just like, and everybody talks about the good stuff, but it's like you really have to do everything yourself, as from
Yes.
starters. And it's like, well, when do you outsource something, and then you run into the problems like capital and network and people opening doors or trying to open your
Exactly.
own doors. It's very, very difficult for sure. And I think again, just the it's very glorified right now, this whole entrepreneurship, and it's very hot and trendy, but it's really not as glorious as people may think. So I'm completely with you there. So I'm curious for yourself, and knowing a little bit about you and your passion for sport, what are some things or habits that you do day in and day out to make sure that you stay in like top shape and you're continuing to practice what you preach when it comes to sports and when it comes to finances? Like, what are some things that you practice as an individual?
I would say one of the key things is reading. Growing up, I really didn't like to read, because the books they would choose for us were like not inspiring. Being a little kid, my whole world was basketball, and we never read any books about basketball or things like that. So I think educators should do a better job of getting more engaging books. So one of the ways in terms of getting my writing skills and reading skills better, I did the 52 book challenge, which is reading a book a week for 52 weeks. I did it 2 years in a row. And what it really showed me is I didn't know anything. So it really humbles you in terms of just knowing that there's so much knowledge out there. That's one thing. And then also, to stay on top of my game, I also continue to play basketball. I'm in a league, and we play on Saturdays as well. And then in terms of, staying fit, I've been a vegan for 8 years. I know veganism, I gotta make the disclaimer, is an ethical stance, is not a diet. You could be plant-based, but being a vegan and being plant-based allows me to, stay trim, stay well, put my health first. So, it's mind, body, and spirit. So I really try to look at that. And, so through the reading, the veganism or plant-based diet, and also through exercise, I think that really helps, especially if you're an entrepreneur, because you're going to deal with a lot of setbacks and also a lot of stress. So you have to be able to manage that. You have to keep up a lifestyle that, will be conducive to you being able to help others. To me, entrepreneurship is really about problem solving, or even any business. You should get into a business to solve problems, and then the money will come. But I think, as you mentioned before, entrepreneurship is glorified as, oh, I don't want to work for anyone, or I'm trying to make a whole lot of money, which could be a selfish pursuit because, as I mentioned, businesses are there to solve problems. And, with winning at the money game, we feel that we have solved the financial literacy problem.
Yeah, no, it's again, it's funny that you say when people like aspire to do their own business because they don't want to work for anybody else. And I always laugh. I'm like, yeah, you just have a whole bunch of bosses all of a sudden that are called your clients, and they're more important to you even than your boss sometimes because they're like that's your bread and butter, so you have to almost do so. It's and you work a lot more. So that's absolutely true. And so what is so you work with kids that are elementary, middle school, and high school. Have you seen this more successful with one audience versus another? Like, where have you seen any, you know, is there any themes that you've noticed in terms of the age group that tends to be more interested in that stuff?
So the ideal age group for us is 8 to 18. So that's about third grade to, high school. I think it's more for those who catch on to it quicker, or those who are more enthusiastic about basketball or soccer. So the stronger the person is in their knowledge of basketball, the easier for them to make the connection. So that's one thing we've seen. But also, the fact that the sports are played by both boys and girls allows the kids or the students to be able to see themselves within these athletes or connect with the material much better. While I was coming up with this idea, I was like, oh, maybe you could do like football or tennis, but those really don't work because they're not team sports. And as you could probably attest to it, when it comes to being an entrepreneur, also making money or being financially successful is a team sport. It's very hard to do it by yourself. So those aspects really work, but we really try to focus on 8 to 18. And I would say ideally middle school to high school. And then with our books and everything, we put it on a third to fourth grade reading level because our students, you may be in eighth grade, but your reading level may be a little lower, things like that. So we're very conscious in creating this curriculum to make sure it works for all students. Also making sure it meets the standards for the various school districts within the United States. So we took our time to create this program. From me writing the book, it was a, I would say, a 6-year process for us to get to the curriculum. And then we also have an online program as well. So as you know, being an entrepreneur, is constantly working on your craft, making it better for your consumers or customers or clients to be able to fully engage into with the material you created.
Absolutely. It's a continuous journey and it doesn't stop for sure. But the best way to do is to do it. That's the best way, you know. You're gonna it's not always gonna be successful, but that's how you get better, and that's how you grow and expand and make it the ultimate product. Or I don't know if it ever becomes ultimate, but it's like I feel like it's a continuous improvement. But in a continuous problem solving. I love that aspect about problem solving because I think when it comes to I think I see your program as such a benefit not only for again that financial and aspect, but it's just even like you said, the problem solving really stuck with me because it's like how you approach life. Like it's experiencing whatever emotions you might experience losing on court or in the soccer field, that translates that translates into life failures because that's part of it, and it is what it is. And one of the biggest challenges I see when I work with youth is resilience, and I feel we could do how do we help people build resilience, like young people, if they without exposing them to horrible circumstances, right? And I think sports, and again the program that you're talking about, is probably I can see how that can also build that resilience as a sub benefit, like almost like a benefit that you probably didn't set out to, but I see there's so many indirect benefits from this program beyond the financial literacy, which I think makes it even that much more powerful. So kudos to you really for creating something
Thank you.
so awesome. It's I'm a fan. What would you say has been your biggest accomplishment so far in professionally or personally for you?
I would say it would be probably two things. One is, as a writer, because I would say that would be the first thing I would, identify as, being, as a writer and an author is actually. It's hard to write books, it's hard to write information down for others. So it would probably be that stick with it attitude, to make sure the product is done. That's something that I'm very proud of. And then I'll also say being a vegan, because for me to become a vegan, I said I've been a vegan 8 years. It'll be 8 years in August. So let me say 7 years. But it took me 4 years to get to that stage. So in terms of just the reading and the sometimes I was like eating meat once a month and it went to once a week and then all the information or research I had to do. So I think it's just sticking with whatever I'm trying to do, just having that type of attitude is something I'm very proud of myself with. And then I think also being helpful and a problem solver. My father, although he passed away, will always tell me, it's like life will present you just to solve them. And that's why I really have a strong belief or desire, or I'll say a strong advocate for reading, because through reading, you'll find the solutions to your problem. Maybe if you want to lose weight or get bigger or stronger or find the person of your dreams or be better looking or whatever. All these answers are in books, and it's really up to you to, go out and find that information. Life is not easy, life is difficult, but there's a lot of solutions within books, and I think people need to read a lot more, and that's something that would definitely help them and also help society.
I totally agree with that. Before I ask you the last couple of questions, tell us where we can find your work, where can people get your books, how can they get in touch with you?
Oh yeah, so we have our website is WATMGNOW.com, which is winningatthemoneygamenow.com. That's where you can go to purchase, our materials. And then my social media, the main one is just Instagram, Shawn, Shawn dot GEEGBAE. That's on Instagram. But winning at the money game, WATMGNOW. Dot com is the best way to find information about our financial literacy program.
Great. And I'll make sure to include that in the show notes as well for anybody who's interested. So a couple of last questions that I like to ask my guests. So the first question is, what is one question that you wish people ask themselves more often?
All right, I think people need to ask themselves, am I living in reality? And that's just to, where we have so much information now due to the internet, maybe Google, YouTube, Instagram, you know, people even get their news from, you know, Instagram and things like that. But you want to ask the questions, am I in reality? Because that will allow you to find the truth, you know, and that will allow you to use your critical thinking skills. May you agree with a point or disagree with it. I think it's good to know that counter arguments, you know, for both sides. And that way you'll be able to find the truth. My main thing, and, you know, one of the mottos of Syracuse University is knowledge crowns those who seek her. So if you're seeking knowledge or you're seeking the truth, and you know, the other quote is the truth will set you free. You know, I think if we more people try to be in reality, they'll be able to, they'll be more free, because even though reality may be uncomfortable, it will allow you to find the truth. And I ultimately believe that will set you free mentally, physically, in whatever aspect you're looking for.
That's a good one. And the second one is, if you had a magic wand to make any change in the world, what would that be?
Magic wand, and is not for my benefit. I would say I believe everyone in the world should, from the age from 10 to 20, should be enrolled in martial arts. I feel that martial arts, maybe boxing, Muay Thai, jiu-jitsu, or wrestling, is very important for the overall development of someone, but also for you to understand the importance or understand danger and be able to deal with danger. It's almost like, remember in the Wild Wild West, they used to say, oh, everyone had a gun on them, so it made it safer. But I believe if everyone knew martial arts, it will make people less likely to bully others, and it'll make people more strong to stand up for themselves and be more confident. You know, I've been doing boxing for, I'll say, a year and a half now, same thing with Muay Thai, and it's just increased my confidence in terms of being able to stand up for myself if anything arises, but also to also know that I'm not good at fighting and I need to shut my mouth and also be humble and calm down. So you actually see when you deal with people who are way better than you in fighting, it humbles you. But I think if they made it a requirement for 10 years old to 20 years old, you have to take 10 years of martial arts. You can choose any one of them, or you can choose multiple ones of them. But I think that would be very helpful for the overall society to be able to understand danger, be comfortable with danger, and then it will definitely reduce any type of fighting in public or bullying that goes on in school. So I'm all for martial arts. It's a phenomenal thing.
Yeah, you and I both, amen to that. Like the famous, what's the quote? Is that the Muhammad Ali quote? It's the one where it's like everything is great until you get punched in the mouth or something like that. I forget the actual
Yeah, it's
phrase.
the Mike Tyson one.
Oh, Mike Tyson, sorry, Mike Tyson. What? Do you remember the exact quote?
Everyone, I think it's like everyone has a plan until they get punched in the
Yeah,
mouth.
that's it. That's
And it's,
it humbles you real quick.
oh,
So,
yes. But it gives you the confidence. So it's like a perfect, you know, tool, humbling you, but also giving you confidence to stand up for yourself and to be brave, you know. So I really think it's an important thing.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So listen, Sean, thank you so much for making the time. I really enjoyed this chat, and I look forward to supporting your journey in whatever way I can. I think it's amazing what you're doing, and hopefully people who are listening, you know, if you want to get in touch with Sean, if you want to help him on his journey as well to create this awareness among youth, that'd be awesome. So thank you, Sean.
Oh yeah, no problem. I definitely enjoyed it. And yes, we're winning at the money game using basketball and soccer to teach financial literacy to the youth. And I just thank you for your time and for the audience and listening to me and my story. I do appreciate it. Thank you very much.